are very welcome to the Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you for the next hour. Thanks very much to Sinead for keeping us company from 2 to 6 today. I'll be bringing you a roundup of all the day's sporting action, plus I'll be chatting Formula 1, athletics and Gaelic games. Let's get straight into it, shall we? Off with Gaelic games in the Red FM Hurling League Division 1. Aire Óg played Bride Rovers early today. The final score from that game was Aire Óg 118 to Bride Rovers 114. Elsewhere in the Munster Senior Football Championship, Kerry triumphed against Clare in Cusack Park. The full-time score was Clare 113 to Kerry 23 points, and I'll have reaction from that game for you later on in the show this evening. To the Premier League now, where there were three games down for decision this afternoon. It finished 1-0 to Brighton in their game against Aston Villa. Richard Newman has the full-time report from the Amex Stadium.
Full-time, Brighton at Hove Albion 1, Aston Villa 0. João Pedro's late goal puts it away after a rebound from his penalty was saved by Robin Olsen. Means Aston Villa won't be securing Champions League football this weekend. Unai Emery's side looked lethargic 3 days after the first leg of their Europa Conference League semi-final with Olympiacos. Brighton with a better side. They kept upping the pressure in the second half. Pascal Gross had a goal ruled out for a marginal offside. João Pedro also had a shot saved and throw on goal. And Danny Welbeck put a header just wide. Villa rarely threatened, apart from a long-range Massey Cash shot, which went just wide. They'll try to overturn a 4-2 deficit against Olympiacos on Thursday, but for Brighton, a very welcome first win in 7 Premier League games. It's finished Brighton 1, Aston Villa 0.
Elsewhere at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea have handed a 5-0 loss to West Ham. Ryan Bromlow has the full-time report.
It's finished Chelsea 5, West Ham United 0. Chelsea magnificent at home again to claim back-to-back wins for the first time in the league since January. There were three up at the break. Palmer, Gallagher and Madueke set the Blues on their way, and a Jackson double completed the rout. Jackson now draws level with Didier Drogba's 16 goals in a debut Chelsea season. They were another class today and they are spiralling towards Europe. West Ham woeful, Chelsea 5, West Ham United 0, the final score.
In the final game of the day, Liverpool are hosting Tottenham Hotspur at Anfield, where it is 4-1 to the home side, and we'll get you a full-time score from Anfield later on in the show. It's about 75-76 minutes into that game now. In rugby, Toulouse have won their Champions Cup semi-final against Harlequins by 38 points to 26. That win earns them a place in the final against Leinster following their victory against Northampton Saints at Croke Park yesterday. At the World Snooker Championships in Sheffield, Kyron Wilson has finished the afternoon session with a 7-1 lead against Jack Jones. Both players are aiming to win their first world title today by coming out on top of the best of 35 frames tie. The evening session will get underway at 7 p.m. We're going to chat about athletics at the top of the show because the Cork City Marathon is fast approaching, and over the course of that day on Sunday, June 2nd, we'll see the marathon, the half marathon and the 10K take place around the streets of Cork. And this year, the John Buckley Sports Youth Challenge is also taking place, which is encouraging young school-going athletes to take part in the 10K event in particular. And Leavell coach and club legend Chris Harrington is the coordinator of that challenge, and he's been speaking to Rory.
All right, Cork City Marathon fast approaching. June Bank Holiday weekend, half marathon, full marathon and the 10K. Delighted to be joined by our good pal Chris Harrington from Leavell, who is the coordinator of the Youth Challenge. Chris, good to see you, buddy. It's been a while.
Rory, how are you, sir? Nice good, to see you. Yeah. Thank you for taking time out.
And thank you for coming in to us, first off. The Youth Challenge for the Cork City Marathon, explain what it is.
So, basically, the Cork City Council are promoting exercise for people of all abilities to take part in the 10K and the half or the full. But my role is to call into schools. Cork City Council have hired me to go in and call to secondary schools from fourth year to sixth year, which are predominantly 15-year-olds to 18-year-olds to get them to participate. Now, it's the John. It's actually called the John Buckley Sports Youth Challenge. John Buckley Sports are kindly sponsoring this this initiative. So, and they have done for the last couple of years, and that's the role which I'm enjoying.
I suppose, yeah, and getting kids involved in the marathon and the 10K. I mean, like, a lot of these kids would have a lot of sporting experience anyway, so stepping up to a 10K wouldn't be that daunting of a challenge for them.
It's not daunting to them, but the experience of going to the schools is that it's new to them. And they're thinking, when they hear the marathon or 10K, it's just totally daunting. Now, you must remember, a lot of these kids, as you rightly said, they're involved in sports, and I'd get all of them to put their hands up, and a lot of them are involved with soccer, camogie, ga, rugby. And the shocking thing for me personally, obviously a lover of athletics, that there's very few put their hands up for athletics, you know? And so, as I highlight them, it's not something they have to race. It's just something that they get out and do. They cover 10K anyway all day.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in their daily life. So I wanted my job is to promote the exercise part of it. But from a mental point of view, like, I want them to achieve something, you know, so that they thought they couldn't do. And so they really are taken to that, and the teachers, like.
Yeah, I mean, like, and to do 10K and get a medal for it and have that intoxicating atmosphere at the finish line of the Cork Marathon, which we know is just an incredible thing, might spark kind of almost that lifelong love of athletics for them. That's the hope.
Correct. And I go in with not only to coach them and to train them, but I also give them a story about my own personal experience of athletics and the friends I've met, the people, the places I've went around the world, training camps in Ethiopia and staying at Mo Farah, all these stories. But I also tell them that from a physical point they're going to feel good, but from a mental point they're going to feel good, because, and this is not only for kids, this is for everyone listening, this is for, you know, everyone, you know, from 8 to 88 or 98, you know what I mean? Like, you're not feeling good today, or something on your mind, you have a family decision, or you have a business decision, or, you know, it might be raining and you just might feel like, you know, you're just, you might get that seasonal adjustment disorder, they're sad.
Yeah.
Like, go for a walk, do you know what I mean? You will feel good, you know, and I had an experience 2.5 years ago. I fell through a scaffold, 12 feet. Jesus. And I spent 8 days in hospital. So, you know, I had a couple of, I still do actually, you know, rough nights sleeping stuff. But I know the road will accept me. I know the field will accept me. And if I need to release a bit of energy or something, I know I just go out and I'm always accepted by the road or the field. And as I always say, that you will feel a lot better. I've actually promised the kids that I'll give them €500 cash that if they do this, that when they do this, that they will feel better for doing it. So,
yeah, look, I came to athletics quite late in my life, as you know, and I can attest to all that, how good it makes you feel, and the sense of achievement crossing a finish line in a singlet of your club, or even just doing it for yourself, is just, it's something that sparks something in your brain, and you probably know this as well. And it's hard to describe, but it's something you want to replicate as often as possible. And
correct, yeah. There's a saying with running is and sport is that, and versus drugs with the problems people have today in society, that you do drugs, you feel good for the minute, and then you feel bad for the rest of the day. But you do sport, and it's tough while you're in it, but you feel great for all the rest of the day, like, you know. So, but as I say, with the sport itself, it's the message. Obviously, the Cork City Council are doing a fantastic job here, and it's great that they're seeing that they need to hire someone to get into schools and get someone on the ground, which fantastic. Kudos there has to be mentioned for what they're trying to get on board here and push positively. And John Buckley, because without sponsors, I mean, you know, it's hard to get things going. So they have to be all commended. But my story, again, going back to having an accident 2.5 years ago, is like a lot of these kids that are not involved in athletics and they're not looking after themselves, you know, mentally, you know, that you haven't got time to be negative. You haven't got time to say, oh, I'm not signing up, because tomorrow's not promised to us. And maybe I'm a bit more energetic than the next person. You might say hyper, but is because I've realised that through a couple of life-threatening accidents I had down through the years. I mean, I had a car crash in 2002. Very lucky to get out of it. Thank God. You know, we all have life experiences, and we all have a story. But the one message I want to get out there as well. Apart from the feel good and the dopamine and all the positive reactions you're going to get, and achievement is, it's the one race in Cork that when you run it or race it, but just to run it and take part, the amount of people and friends and neighbours and that you just connect with on the day, it really can't be explained. It's a feeling that's undescribable, but when you're in the moment, it's something that you'll
there is you want something to get. Magic as well about running down Patrick Street. I've done the marathon, I've done the half marathon, and there's just something special about running down Patrick Street to finish a race that you don't get anywhere else. It's just that feeling.
It's an emotional feeling too, Ronnie.
I was bawling, crying last year crossing the line, like, you know what I mean? It's just incredibly emotional. And to do that in your home city and to have that option with the 10K now as well, it's incredible.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic option for athletes and runners to do. And look, like every sport, there's an elite end. But I keep telling people, like, just every race you go to, you either run it or you race it. I mean, I'm going to run it this year.
Yeah.
With the schools that are on board, and I really am looking forward to it. You know, it's massive, like.
And that 10K route is lovely as well because it's perfectly flat and there's no hills. And as I said, you start in town, you start in Patrick Street, you finish in Patrick Street. So for a 10K, it's a grand flat course, so it's not that challenging, except for the 10K part, obviously. But like as a course itself, it's fantastic.
No, it is lovely. And would you believe, I can say this without fear of contradiction, there's probably a lot of people that do run it that wouldn't have seen certain parts of Cork. That's the beauty of running the full marathon. Obviously, you get to see your city because most kids are getting driven everywhere today. So they wouldn't see different parts of the course. But as I say, it's a special day. It's a special weekend. And if people are thinking they can't do it or they're putting a fear or a roadblock in front of them, like, my message is you haven't got time, you know. You just haven't got time to not do something as positive as this for your weekend.
Just do it, basically.
Yeah, basically, like, you know. And another thing, sorry, Rory, I wanted to highlight is, again, my role is the youth coordinator for 2024 John Buckley Sports Youth Challenge. So while we've a lot of schools on board, I want more schools, you know. We need more schools. The take-up on the schools that we have on board has been fantastic. But we need more schools involved because in my opinion and my thoughts on this is that the kids of today are going to be our future radio presenters, our future coaches, our future doctors, you know. Like, I have the education, you have the education, so let's pass it on to them and, you know, let them get the feeling and get the positivity and do something good, you know, so they can give it back. So we're only as good as our next generation coming up, so, you know, that's a bit deep, obviously, but, you know, but it's meaningful, you know. Yeah. It's meaningful, so I want and I expect teachers to reach out to me after hearing this.
Fingers
you know,
crossed.
And I call down, I coach them, you know. So, yeah, I mean, call me.
Basically. Yeah, how do people get in contact?
So people can get on to me by charrington.ie@gmail.com. And they can enter the Cork City Council direct, the sports department, either or. And basically, I come down to the school and I give a small talk. You know, I don't talk much, Rory, but I give a small talk.
We have to encourage you to do this.
I kick it in screaming. But so, and just give them a background story on the race itself and a few life lessons. And then we get into some light training, you know, fundamentals. And it's quite enjoyable, really, you know. Some days I don't even want to leave the school. Like, it's that fun. But then I have to go back in because I'm actually a builder myself by trade. But so then I have to go back to work and do concrete again. and stuff. So I'm enjoying the schools, like, to be fair.
Talk to me about your running career, Chris. I mean, like, your passion for athletics is obviously quite evident to hear in this interview, but talk to me about where that passion came from and talk to me about your career, because you've been an exceptional athlete for many, many years.
Yeah, thanks, Rory. I suppose I look at myself as a sub-elite athlete. I never quite made the Irish stage, but that didn't deter me away from having a passion and a drive to keep going and keep trying to make it. Look, I had a goal many years ago to make the Olympics. Many people laughed. Family man, kids, business. Going through recession at the time, it wasn't easy. I was running 110 miles a week, average 100, wow. which getting up at 6 in the morning and finishing at 12 or 7 to be in work for 8, that's 10 miles in the morning and 6 miles in the evening every day, Monday to Friday, 12 on a Saturday and 20 miles on a Sunday. So that was your kind of 100, 110 miles a week. So I went to Ethiopia to pursue a dream and a goal, which was very scary, mind you, because it was a recession. I was fighting, you know, banks and, you know, staff and, you know, the whole country was going through it. But I had good people behind me, supporting me, my wife and kids, obviously. And I spent a month in Ethiopia. It was a fantastic experience. But then when I came back, I got sick. And then I had rolled on my ankle. So very long story short, I had to get 2 hip operations. And then I had to get 2 ankle operations. So that set me back. I will admit, when I got the news, I had to go to Whitfield Clinic in Waterford. And I got the news, I was very upset because all these goals and dreams were behind me. And I just got terribly upset that I couldn't pursue it because 2016 was coming up. So I turned my attention into getting the job for Leavell High Performance Centre. So I tendered for it and I got it, thankfully and gratefully so. And then when I built that, I made a promise to the club that I would, my own running was over effectively. I mean, look, as I say, I have a 14 and a half minute 5k, a 30 minute 10k, just 2.5 hours for the full.
Is that all?
This is all pre good runners now, and pre
sports science,
pre vapor flies and stuff, you know. But I mean, like, trying to run a business and trying to run a family and dealing with all the stress, it was an uphill battle, but I still loved athletics and I still wanted to be a part of it. So when I got the contract for Leavell and I built it, I came back in January and the head coach at the time, Tony Shine, stalwart of Leavell, said, I said, look, Tony, I want to give back. I don't want to leave the sport. I said, it's given me so much. I've met friends. I mean, I came fourth in Van Cortlandt Park in America. For my 30th, I went to the race in the Bronx, which is an NCAA course. And I just loved it, you know. I mean, I was a part of a load of different events, running, and I did win locally and a few national races I would have won, and I got sponsored locally by places. So I'm not going to go into all the whole running career, but it was very positive for me, you know, and the friends I've met. I mean, I've friends worldwide over it now. But then I stayed with it in January of 2017 after finishing the Leavell High Performance Centre, and I said, I'm going to go coaching. No, I said, Tony, I'll be back soon, no running. So I said, you know, this, but yeah, I'm going to go coaching. So, and I stayed with it, and I got 2 girls to come one night. They gave me 2 girls, and it just snowballed, and then had massive success. Again, very grateful with the athletes that came in. On the 14, 15, 16, 17, junior cross-country and individual track and cross-country champions, it just snowballed. And I got one girl a scholarship to Providence, another girl's going to Boston, and hopefully another girl's going in the next this year, so unconfirmed. But so it's been fantastic. And it's not even about girls or boys going on scholarships. It's one guy came up to me a couple of months ago and he couldn't run at all, or a couple of years ago, and then he's running consistently and constantly. I get more of a kick out of him. Do you know, running,
remember the first time we met and you what you said to me?
I was doing Cullamore, and myself were doing Run With Red, because Red FM were the Cork City Martin media sponsors. And I remember coming out to you in the hallway here, and I said, Rory, how's things? I says, would you not sign up for the relay? And he goes, are you mad? I said, Rory, I promise you, it's going to change your life.
I'll never run in that. Yeah,
I'll never run. I goes, Rory, it's going to change your life. And I said, Rory, I tell you this, I says, I've two goals in life. I says, as a coach and as an athlete. One, to be an athlete, that my kid would actually look up to me as a role model. And I said, that's what your family are going to do for you. And you said, no way, no way, no way. And I remember seeing you a short while afterwards, and you're running. And
you're so proud of me.
I sent you a message saying, this is actually, I'm actually put a tear in my eye. It's like a proud father moment. Although,
it's a sign that, like, it's never too late. I mean, like, I started running 3 years ago in my late 30s, and, like, if you're thinking it's too late, it's not too late. Go up and start, just go up and do it.
Well said, Rory. It's never too late, and you're never too old to smile. It's never too late, and you're never too old to have fun. It's never too late, and you're never too old to enjoy yourself positively. So go for it. You know what I mean? That's my dream board sticker.
And that seems like a very good place to end it. Chris, it's been an absolute pleasure. So one last time, if schools want to get involved with this, how do they get in touch?
So schools want to get involved, they contact me direct, the school teacher only, not the pupils. So it's charrington.ie@gmail.com, and I will be don't you the minute I read the email. So you've no excuse, guys. And I do appreciate that schools have a curriculum and they're busy. There's leaving certs and there's everything else going on, and the school tours, and it's not a great time, but ye have time. I'll do everything, just reach out and I look after everything else.
Chris, a pleasure, buddy, as always.
Thank you, sir.
Brilliant stuff there from Rory and Chris. Now, the February and March winners of the Rebel Oak Awards were honoured at a ceremony at the Clayton Hotel in Silver Springs this week. Cláiste Cullum from Ballincollig were the February winners after winning the All-Ireland Junior A Camogie Championship, and the March winners were St Francis College Rochestown, who were crowned O'Callaghan Cup champions. Former Cork hurler Alan Cadogan is a coach with Rochestown College, and Rory spoke to him at the award ceremony.
Alan Cadogan, Rocco, congratulations on the Rebel Oak Awards. Great, I suppose, recognition of your achievements this year so far.
Yeah, I suppose any time you win silverware for the school, it's extra special. I think we were only talking about it a couple of weeks ago. I think the last time Rochestown would have won that would have been maybe 2015, 2016, the Shane Kingston, Sean Potter area. So kind of going in against the Good Christians team at the time, probably, like, being honest about it, probably a lot of people didn't see a result going our way. Yeah. Obviously, they're A Harty, where we played B this year, so it's great for the lads leaving school, the 6 years, for example. So a lot of fellas who'll be involved with Douglas, for example, who've been there obviously the last number of years, you know, it's great for them to get a bit of recognition before they leave.
Talk to us about the squad of players that you have at your disposal this year.
Yeah, someone already mentioned it the other day to me that all the forwards are Douglas, you know.
Slight bias,
you know. But there's a good mix there. Like, to be fair, we've fellas from Blackrock, Douglas, Nemo, Cove, one or two Ballygarvan, Tracton. So obviously the big feeder schools or the feeder clubs would be Douglas and Blackrock, you know. But there's a good mix there, and you know, lads are excellent to work with, you know. Good future.
That's half the battle, really, isn't it?
Yeah, at that age, I think, especially because you have to remember, to a lot of these fellas are 17, 18, you probably don't know what you're going to get with them, and I suppose a big thing was trying to get access to some of them. Like, we'd have fellas involved in the Cork minor teams, hurling, football, like September, October, we only had maybe 7-8 fellas training, and because you have club season still taking place, so it's getting harder and harder to access these players. But I suppose when they come together, it's actually about just kind of binding that link with them, you know. They're not going to get any fitter or better hurling. It's just about trying to get them to play it to a certain way. And to be fair, the lads bought into it exceptionally well throughout the year.
Is it hard to get into gel though when you only have access to them on a limited basis?
Probably is, you know. And I suppose we're a big dual school as well, so we're kind of every second week hurling and football. But it's going to be a very good relationship with the football management in the school as well, and even since, look, being I have a good connection with the school, being a past pupil and stuff, that it was the same when I was there. So, you know, it's a big GA school, obviously, with both, but it is hard, I suppose, trying to get fellas access them. They could be with the clubs, they're pulled by the Cork minor trial, or they're training with the Cork 20s or whatnot. But look, I suppose you're just trying to emphasise the importance importance to the 6 year fellas that this is your last time, and that was my big thing, that this is your last time playing with the school, so try to go out and, you know, represent them the best way you possibly can.
That's kind of the case. You don't know what the good times are until they're gone, I suppose, and that's what it is in the school, isn't it?
Yeah, no, when I was there in school, like, I never competed in O'Callaghan Cup. I was overage to play Harty, you know. So these are important things that you don't neglect, and as I say, we're a big GA school, and it is nice to get recognised and finish off the year winning the O'Callaghan Cup.
And at what point during the year did you realise the squad is decent, we have a chance of winning something here this year?
Well, you'd always look on paper and you'd see the type of players that you'd have. Like, be honest, we probably didn't do ourselves justice in the party, we call it, against Clonmel. We were beaten comprehensively that day, but unfortunately we played football on the Wednesday against Tralee, then we had to play on the Friday against Clonmel, you know. So ourselves, Mark Dolan and Peter Murphy was involved in the team also, like, we always knew that there was a good cohort of players there, but as it's just about getting them to gel together and try to have them for a couple of training sessions to get them playing to a certain style or a certain system. And, you know, I think that came to fruition against Christians that night down at Páirc Uí Chaoimh.
Yeah, Christians have become a hurling stronghold over the past number of years. It's amazing to see their transition and transformation, I suppose. But going into that final, as you mentioned, you were underdogs. Did that kind of, I suppose, help you, I suppose, in a way?
Yeah, sure. Anytime you go in and you're underdogs, you're always kind of playing that card a little bit. But look, we knew ourselves kind of coming up against Christians. You know, they're both in the Harty every year. They have a big hurling school. They've put a lot of work into it over the last number of years. You know, it's like no different really from ourselves' point of view, the hurling and the football that we're trying to do as well, and try to develop the kids that are coming through the door. But we knew ourselves going into that game, we were underdogs, and we used that as a kind of motivation factor. And people probably were surprised. Maybe we had a great start. I think we went 2-1 up, I think, or two goals up, I think, at the time. So we used that as a bit of a motivation factor that night. Certainly, yes.
And that scenes at the final whistle, how the lads celebrated, it must have been amazing, I'd say.
It was, you know, especially the fellas who were leaving, as I say, you know, for the 5th years that are maybe there next year, I suppose. You know, my message to them then next year will be, can we try to retain what we won, you know, and setting that standard for the fellas coming up in 2nd year and 3rd year and so on. But it's good, as I said, for the fellas leaving.
I appreciate it.
No worries, anytime, Roy.
Let's hear as well from the Cork Minor Ladies football boss Jamie Cronin, who is coach with Cláis Cullen Ballincollig.
Jamie, first off, congratulations on the Rebel Oak Award. It's a great recognition, I suppose, of the achievement that you've had.
Yeah, I think, look, it's brilliant for the girls there. Good, long, hard season. I suppose last year we were unlucky in another semi-final, and I suppose, look, this year they're able to go a couple of steps further, and look, bringing All-Ireland A title back to the school was really, really a massive achievement for them.
Yeah, All-Ireland champions, has it sunk in yet?
It hasn't. I mean, getting recognition like this from Rebel Oak is another, I suppose, highlights it even more. And I think, I'd say the girls might, maybe over the summer when school term finishes, they might realise what an achievement it actually was, I suppose, to come out at their age level, under 16 and a half, and be essentially the best school team at that age in the country was a huge achievement.
Talk about the squad of players that you have at your disposal and how well they've gelled, I suppose, over the years.
Yeah, lots of these girls would have started out, say, second year a couple of years ago, playing junior, and I suppose have gained that experience. There's a few of them there, even, like, who are Ashley, the captain, who's probably played 35 or 36 A-level school games at this stage, and that experience has stood to them. And there's 7-8 clubs feeding into this team as well. They're all top-level clubs with top-level players, which makes it easier to have some success then when you gel them all together.
I was going to say, what are the clubs that you're drawing from?
I'm going to forget some now here. Ballinhassig, Ballinora, Ballincollig, Bishopstown, Airog, Inniscarra, St Finbar's. I think that's all in that squad anyway.
Spread, so, yeah.
They're from everywhere. All those clubs are synonymous with top level camogie. So I suppose all I have to try and do with the coaches, with the teachers, with me is just, as you said, gel all that together.
And when did you realise? Like, at what point of the season did you think to yourself, right, we've got a good team here, we've got a good chance of going on? I know you were close last year, but this year, what was the difference?
Well, we actually lost the first game of the year to Cashel, and I suppose I quickly made it fairly blunt with them that, right, things have to change here if you want to achieve something big. And in fairness, look, shoulder to the wheel then after that, and they really, really pushed on. And, you know, they knew we were going to play top level schools all around the country, right through Munster, right into the All-Ireland series. And, you know, even like midterms over Christmas, school holidays, days off, training away, working hard together, and like you're kind of you're pushing against what you have. Like there's a club season there still late into the year last year and the pre-season this year, and you're trying to manage around all those things. But in fairness, look, they were fabulously committed bunch, and I look, they really truly deserved it.
What's the build up to an All Ireland final like in the school?
It was brilliant. Like the support from staff, support from school management, support from parents, support from other students. The original fixture was actually postponed, and we had to wait another week and a half for it, which probably even built it even more. We got excellent support on the day from students in the school, and loads and loads and loads of parents travelled as well. And like the final was actually a really really special atmosphere, and it kind of it pays off then when you have the days. When you're up in Thurles or someplace and there's nobody watching you, and you win a hard game, it kind of to win on the big day when everyone's watching was really special.
What type of game was it?
It was cliches now, a game of two halves kind of thing, but we probably got some handy goals, but we defended really, really, really well, and it's something, I suppose, a point of emphasis that we had from maybe losses from last year, that we had to kind of change up a little bit or improve for this year. We got a lead for half time. We'd worked hard, and we really, really, like, they were relentless in the second half then to keep out Mara.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And coming back to the school, then the girls like heroes must have been an incredible reception.
It was great. We had a great reception the following morning. They didn't want to come in at 9 o'clock the following morning, but they did, and we had a great reception from the whole school. Getting to walk back in with a trophy, and I still think, like, to be able to say that you were the best team in the country, as along with your school colleagues, I think is a really, really brilliant thing for those girls to have.
You are very welcome back to the Big Red Bench. It is Sarah McKenzie Foley here with you until 7 o'clock. Let's get you a final score from that last Premier League game of the day between Liverpool and Tottenham. Believe it or not, Spurs did manage to pull back two goals in the last 15 or 20 minutes of that game. So the full-time score was Liverpool 4, Tottenham 2. Shane Pennington has the full-time report from Anfield.
Liverpool 4, Tottenham 2, and after one win in their last five, Liverpool returned to winning ways in a match that was a lot more comfortable for them than the scoreline suggested. Mo Salah, Andy Robertson, Cody Gakpo and Harvey Elliott had the host 4 up before substitutions by Jurgen Klopp seemed to upset their rhythm, and Richarlison and Son got 2 back for Tottenham as they tried to stage a late comeback. But the visitors left themselves far too much work to do as they suffered a 4 straight league defeat to leave their Champions League hopes in tatters. Liverpool 4, Tottenham 2.
Let's look ahead now to the Formula One Miami Grand Prix. Lights out will be at 9 p.m. Irish time tonight. Max Verstappen will be starting from pole position, and he's joined on the front row by Charles Leclerc, and they'll have their respective teammates Sergio Perez and Carlos Sainz breathing down their necks from the second row. Do we have a shot at an upset here, folks? The Miami Grand Prix has never been won from pole position, so it's not as advantageous as it would be at other tracks. And Charles Leclerc did give Max Verstappen a good challenge on the run down to turn one in the sprint race yesterday. So could we perhaps be looking at a possible Ferrari win today? Leclerc in particular has looked strong this weekend, and if he can keep himself in the running after turn one, which to be fair isn't a given in Miami, and if Sainz can team up with him on a solid strategy, I really do think the prancing horses have a chance of stealing the first step of the podium from Max Verstappen this weekend. Of course, we can't rule out Sergio Perez either. He has been solid but not amazing this weekend so far, but he does have a history of performing well on street tracks, I should say, in particular. So he could be an outlier there as well in that front group. Tire dig is certainly going to be a challenge. The weather looks like it's going to be pretty similar to what we've seen all weekend. So late 20 Celsius air temperature, late 40s up into the 50s potentially track temperature, depending on how close the cars manage to stick with each other. Drivers are likely to find themselves dealing with overheating issues in general because of those temperatures, which, as we know, these fine-tuned Formula One cars do not like overheating, and it means that the drivers and the teams will have to do a lot of pace management potentially if they want to remain competitive at the end of the Grand Prix. Interestingly, Lando Norris seemed particularly fond of the medium tyre yesterday. He was setting quick times on that compound where others have needed the soft to achieve their top pace. So it'll be interesting to see whether that translates to race conditions. Certainly the lifetime of the soft tyre looks to be very short. So I think we could see a range of pit stop strategies from, you know, across the various teams. Pirelli themselves have predicted a one-stop strategy as the fastest for today's race on a combination of mediums and hards. But you can be sure that if there's a fastest lap point up for grabs or a gap opens up at the pointy end of the running, that you could see a set of softs being used today. Speaking of Lando Norris and of the McLarens in general, they've done it again with the upgrades, haven't they? This is the second season now in a row where they have brought in a wealth of upgrades, and we've immediately seen a positive impact. And when the official list of upgrades that they were bringing to Miami this weekend was released, there was a bit of a joke going around that McLaren had replaced 90% of their car, but honestly it's not that far off the truth, particularly for Lando, who has all of the upgrades, whereas Oscar Piastri only has half at the moment but will receive the remainder in due course. You wouldn't necessarily know that, though, because the Aussie driver qualified in P6 right behind his teammate, and in fact they will line up side by side on the grid, so it could get a bit spicy between those two if McLaren don't manage things properly. And I really do think that McLaren are in a great position to get a huge points haul this weekend and potentially even steal a podium place should anything go awry for the Red Bulls and or the Ferraris in front of them. I said it before and I'll say it again, but that McLaren driver lineup is the one that I would choose to have if I had the option of all the teams on the grid this year, and they are absolutely ready to pounce on any mistakes or opportunities that are presented to them. Obviously, all of this again goes with the caveat of turn one, because as we saw yesterday, it's a chaotic place to be. But in complete and utter contrast to the McLaren upgrades, the Mercedes upgrades, I think it's fair to say, have failed to make the impression that the team would have been hoping for, as they continue to struggle with remedying and understanding fully the inconsistent performance of their car. George Russell described the team as having gone from one extreme to the other with the latest developments, which he means sort of rather than solving the problems they were already having, ended up going too far in the other direction and almost created a new set of issues for the drivers and their engineers to grapple with, which is a really frustrating position to be in. Like between Q2 and Q3, Lewis Hamilton had almost a second of a time delta in his one lap performance. And he put it down primarily to tyres and not getting the tyres into the right window, but that is a big gap in a very short space of time. And unfortunately, unlike McLaren, I don't think that the Mercedes are in a position to pounce on anything that happens in front of them. I think in reality, it's going to be a good day for George Russell and Lewis Hamilton if they can secure a double points haul from today's race. And I was going to say, and bring the two cars home in one piece, which I don't know how much love they have for these cars, but look, they have what they have. I do want to give a quick mention to the F1 Academy as well. The girls are back on track this weekend supporting the F1 events after quite long hiatus between races. Abby Pulling has been the standout driver across the weekend. She won race one yesterday and will be looking to pull off a repeat in race two today. That gets underway at 6:05 this evening. And she will also be starting from pole in that race too. They also had a very exciting announcement this week, which is that F1 Academy is getting its very own version of Drive to Survive. So Netflix are producing a show about the series, which will be released on the streamer in 2025 based on this 2024 season. I have to say a big well done to Susie Wolf and the managing team at F1 Academy for all of the deals and partnerships that they're securing. It really is very impressive what they've managed to do just in their second year. And look, long may it continue. But in the meantime, we've got that to look forward to. We've got the Miami Grand Prix to look forward to. Fingers crossed we will have some more professional driving than what we had during the sprint yesterday. I'm looking at you, Kevin Magnussen. We'll have to move on, shall we? We'll move on. Definitely moving on. Okay, we are going back to Gaelic Games now. Gerard McCarthy was on the sidelines for the clash between Clonakilty and Bill Ottengurig in the McCarthy Insurance Group Football League this weekend. Clonakilty emerged victorious from the game and earned themselves the top spot in Division 2 as a result. Let's hear first from their mentor Owen Ryan and also their captain Mark White.
Okay, Owen Ryan, a very convincing victory for Clonakilty, top of Division 2. You must be very, very pleased, first of all, with the performance tonight and also where the team is right now.
Yeah, delighted, of course, Ger. I suppose, look, we came out here tonight. We lost one game in the league last year, and that was to Ballingarry, and it cost us promotion. So we said we couldn't make the same mistake here tonight. And we asked the lads to give it that extra bit. And in fairness, they did. They produced it on the field, you know. And 4-16 is big scoring, you know.
Lot of regular players in their usual positions, but the younger players tonight, Conor Daly, Fergal Murphy, Dara Goff, important that these players are developing ahead of the championship.
Absolutely. Look, we're trying to develop the youngsters, and you know they're very skillful, and it's to work them into the team. You know, what we have is good footballers, but just to get them to gel together, you know, and to mix it up as well. They're like, you know, we've some big strong guys as well, and they're playing well as well. You know,
yeah. It's all about championship, obviously, but home partner is promotion to this particular group and in their current, you know, development.
Yeah, look, we were hoping to get promoted last year, and we missed out in scoring difference. Number one aim this year, of course, is the championship, but we have to get out of Division 2, like, because we want to be competing with the top teams, you know. They're the teams you're playing in championship, most of them, and that's where you want to be. I mean, you want to test your fillers against the best players in the county, and the most of them in Division 1, obviously, like.
And that's the important thing for players' development. You get to play them a championship, yeah. And it's in championship mode. But come league, and for the new players in your under-20s coming through, getting out of Division 2 is very important, Clondeshire.
Absolutely, hugely, as I said there, you know. It's this is one of our top goals, is to get out of Division 2 and get back into Division 1 and compete there. And look, we have a good bunch of footballers, and they gelled tonight. I mean, we had a tough game last week in Dunmanway, you know. It was a completely different game. It was 2-4 to 7 points, you know. We only got 6 scores. We got 4-16 tonight, like, you know. And Ballingarry had only lost one game, so they were coming over here fairly confident, especially after they beat us here last year.
One other thing different with Clonakilty this year, Griffin Morton, Simon Murphy have come into the team. Competition for places is something that you and the coaching staff definitely need to push the players on. Looks like you have that now.
Look, sure, I mean, every coach's dream is to have competition for places, and we're no different, like. Obviously, that you know, if you have competition for places, there's no fella can relax. It drives everybody on. Everybody has to train harder. And fair play to Simon and Griffin. They're after coming in, and they're after gelling in with the crowd, and, you know, they're good lads, and they're working hard, and you can ask no more of them, like.
Yeah. And just finally, look, you are where you want to be at this time of the year. If you ask at the start of the year, be top of the table and aiming and gunning for promotion. Key thing now is to keep this going and then bridge the gap to the championship, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, as I said at the start, you know, the championship is our aim. We want to make a big impression on the championship. We feel we're not far off it there with what we have. You know, the last few years we've been thereabouts, just losing by a few points. But we want to get over the line. We want to change that, like, and that's where we're heading, like, hopefully.
Okay. Excellent stuff. Thanks.
Thanks, Gerard.
Right, Mark, very, very good win tonight for Clonakilty, top of the Division 2 table. This is where the team wants to be. Obviously, just missed out on promotion last year, and very important that you're chasing it and getting it this year.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose at the very outset, our first goal of the year was to, I suppose, get up to back playing with the top teams in Division 1, and we just have to take every game as it comes. We've gotten a nice run in the league, so hopefully we can keep it continued now.
Not a competition for places, just talking to your selector Owen Ryan about that as well, and new players that have come in, seems to be pushing the younger players on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the one thing about this club. We always have younger lads coming through, which puts pressure on us as, the more frequent players to perform and to keep going, and it's definitely helping.
Your tactic of coming out and racing up the field, something you like to do, and to be as effective outfield as you are in goal?
Look, I suppose that's kind of the way the modern football game is going, really. But we just try to utilise it as best we can. Obviously, there's days it comes off better than others, but thankfully we had a good day today.
Avoiding injuries, keeping the momentum going when you come into championship, that's the key thing for Clan, though, keeping that eye on promotion. But it's important that you just use this momentum when championship comes around.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose that's the one thing about our panel over the last number of years, has been the key players missing due to injuries and stuff at the key time. So it's just about managing the load now. It's a bit of a heavy season now, with games coming every time between both codes, so it's just trying to manage the load now, and hopefully we'll be injury free come championship.
And just finally, promotion will be very, very important for this group to get up to Division 1, to play the likes of Nemo and the Barras, Castlehaven off season. That's the goal really now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can see it's just playing with the top teams throughout the league, I suppose. It'll blood new players as well, but if we were doing that come championship, then they'd be ready.
Excellent stuff. Thanks, Mark.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Mark.
And Ger also spoke to Bill Ongerig manager and former Kerry senior footballer Johnny Crowley. Let's get his thoughts now.
Okay, John, look, that's a disappointing final score from Bailagh and Garrig's point of view, but that's not Bailagh and Garrig. You know they're a much better team than that final score suggests, and I would imagine between now and the end of the league, you'd be looking to rectify that.
To be fair, Clann are moving very well, and they've won all their games so far, so we knew it was going to be extremely tough coming down here. Held with them for maybe 40 minutes, but a team like Clann, if they get a run on you, they got their couple of goals, and you know, they were threatening all night. Look, the reality is, we're at a grade down. We're senior A. We've Skibbereen next week. We have Ballyvourney and Comortis, and then we have Kishgame. And I thought, lads, they're the three matches that we need to look at. That they're the three games we should be are winning if we get our attitude right and play properly, as we did above in Knocknagree and as we have done above in Clyda. But you know, tonight was disappointing. We need more than what we showed tonight.
That's the thing about Division 2 football, John. It's consistency. Even on the days things aren't going well, you have to kind of grind it out. You just weren't able to do that tonight.
No, we weren't. And like you have a mix of full senior teams, like Clann down here. St. Michael's are there. You know, that'll be another tough one to come. And, you know, there's very good teams, and Clann are on a roll now. And I mean, their ambitions are to win the full county championship, no doubt about it. So, look, it's a learning curve for our lads. We were a bit off it physically. You could see it there in some of our matchups. But, look, we have to get our head down. We have a few lads to come back that we will improve the team. You know, you need every fella to, you know, as a country team at this level, but there are no excuses. We are well beaten tonight and we have to move on.
And just looking ahead, that Senior A Championship draw, it's not easy. There is no easy draw. Cliche alert now when it comes to the Senior A Football Championship, but it's about being ready and getting a bit of momentum coming in just before that.
Exactly, yeah. It's trying to time your run into it. Look, again, the results over the last few years have showed there's only a couple, 2 or 3 points swing in all those games, and it'll be no different this year. You know, we're in the tough group. Carrigaline are going very well in Division 1, so that's going to be a really tough game. And we, you know, Kilnamaster in the group, Kishgame, you know, who beat us last year. So, you know, it's going to be very difficult. There's no easy ways around this, and you, a little bit of momentum and you get a bit of a run at it. Next you could end up in a semi-final and you're in the mix, like, but it'll take a huge effort.
Excellent stuff. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for that.
Okay, before we finish up, let's get reaction from that Munster Senior Football Championship final between Clare and Kerry this afternoon. As I said at the top of the show, it was Kerry who came away with the title, and off the balls, Tommy Rooney was there to get reaction from both sides. Let's hear from the winners, Kerry, first. Tommy spoke to Jason Foley and Paul Ganey after the game.
Jason Foley, another Munster Championship title. It was hard won today in Cusie Park in Ennis.
Yeah, great game. Tough. We expected nothing different, to be fair. Coming up here, it's a nice, tight venue. Great to see a full house here. Clare Sport got playing Clare. But I think we gave them oxygen in the first half as well. So plenty to work on, but obviously we got over the line and we're looking forward to 2 weeks.
You want to be playing in games like this, don't you? That atmosphere must have added to the occasion today.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think there was a coin toss to see whether it was going to be in Killarney or Clare, and I think here it was a special atmosphere, to be fair. It was nice and tight, it was different. I think we were kind of used to playing in Killarney and Limerick last year as well, so I don't think it suited any team last year. But no, it's fantastic to come here, full house, as I said, and these are the games you want to be playing in. It was electric, to be fair.
Big day for you coming back. The ankle injury a couple of months ago, did it take a long time to get it right?
Yeah. I mean, it was a six to eight week injury, and just followed the rehab protocols and got back a little bit early. So, as I said, I had the best of help, and credit to the physio and the doctor. The doctors there are very good to me, and just delighted to get back out there and help the lads.
Well, getting minutes into the legs is so important. You kicked a nice point as well. How did you find it out there, the pace of it?
Pace was good, yeah. Obviously, a little bit rusty. I hadn't played since Roscommon at the end of March 17th, Paddy's Day, so I was a little bit rusty getting back into it, but I think when the ground is hard and the sun is shining and it's dry ball, it's easy to get back into it.
I think there was a lot of very anxious Kerry fans over the last couple of months wondering when you might be back, so good to see you back ahead of schedule, and
yeah,
well done today.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks a million.
Paul Ganey, sun shining in Cusick Park, you've just collected another Munster medal. What was that like today against Clare?
Yeah, it was a tough battle. Their scoring percentage was massive right up until the end. I think they only missed a couple of frees in the end of the play. I'd say they were 90%+, so they brought it all today, in fairness, and they kept at it, so it made a very difficult task for us. They were well set up, and our boys just kept plugging away and stuff, and then we we just got that little margin and the comfort, even though they got the goal, we still had the comfort there. So it was a good battle and great atmosphere here. Pitch was sublime, so yeah, it was great.
Yeah, whenever Clare seemed to get closer, they drew level, you'd have a purple patch, and you were able to dig into that and produce maybe 5 or 6 points in a row, and that drew them away a couple of times. Shane Murphy made a couple of big saves. Did it feel like you were in a battle?
Oh yeah, we were, yeah. And we knew we were because the history of our team and my team going back before a lot of these fellas were here. We never had an easy day out up here in Innes. It was 14, 17, 19, all close games, all 2-3 point games. So Clare were well able to perform at home, and they've some great results here along through the years as well. So it was, yeah.
What do you think the satisfaction levels will be like after this game? Because you've collected another Munster title, you've played really well at times, Clare came back into it, but it was the atmosphere as well kind of added to it all. Is it better to win a game like that when there's a bit of a battle rather than just...
Definitely, that's what you want. And hopefully we've another stretch ahead of us, so we've a lot of improving to do. We're under no illusions, we've a lot of things to iron out, but days like this kind of, you know, we'll go back in the video and we'll see exactly what. It'll be a futile to be going out and not having battles, and then you wouldn't know where to start, so at least we've something to reference that, and hopefully we'll keep building because we've a good bit to go, you know.
Yeah.
And just going to move on now from that clip, because I want to make sure we get a word in from the Clare side of the house as well. Clare boss Mark Fitzgerald shared his reaction with Tommy, so let's have a listen to that now.
Mark Fitzgerald, we're 45 minutes after full time here. What's the feeling now that it's settled in that you've fallen short against Kerry, but your boys put in a hell of a performance?
Yeah, I think, look, probably that's it, Tommy. Decent performance. You know, and again, we're just, the guys are getting exposed to football at this level, which will stand to them, you know what I mean? But, you know, when you look back at it, we probably made some bad mistakes, maybe. But I think that probably happens when you're up against an opposition like this, you know.
What were the mistakes? So didn't,
well, I think, you know,
previous years,
you know, probably silly turnovers going down blind alleys in the first half. I think that probably accounted for 4 or 5. Kerry got 4 or 5 points out of that, you know. You know, I thought we struggled a little bit under the breaking ball. But look,
can I ask you about that? Because I saw you reacting a couple of times. You clearly backed yourselves to go long in the kick out. And the breaking ball, there was a few times where luck just kind of went against you.
Yeah, look.
Why did you back yourselves on the long kick out, though?
Because we probably partly guessed that Kerry would press high, which they did. You know, I think they had 2 banks of 4 in that line, so we went high. You know, so look, overall, we're relatively pleased with the performance, Tommy. As I said during the week, we were looking for a performance, and I think we got it, while still acknowledging that we've a bit to go, you know.
Dermot Coughlin weaves his way through just before half-time. If he'd taken a point, it could have been a 2-point game, but he went for the juggler. It was saved. Straight from the throw-in at half-time, Brian Mack drives through and goes for goal. Ickie McGregor gets the goal later on, but it's an 8-point game by the time he gets it, and it makes it a game for the last 10 minutes. What's your attitude as a manager? Do you want the boys to take the point, or are you backing them to go for those moments?
Look, just go for it. Go for it.
Really?
Go for it, absolutely. Brian's is go for it. Like, you know, true like that. Dermot probably was a bit further out, I don't know, but sure, he just weaved. He does that so often. He's brilliant at it, you know. So, look, you just back him to make the right decision and then review it later, like, you know.
Yeah, it felt like, if that had happened, if that had gone in, this crowd, because the crowd were with the team today,
absolutely.
Mark. That was a big thing.
It was huge, you know, and the crowd were brilliant for us, and like I'd say, the roof would have went off the stand over there, you know. So look, from that point of view, you just did feel that we needed a goal or two just to keep the pressure on them, because they were coming up the pitch and they were getting easy scores, you know.
Young squad, you've dealt with a big turnover of players. You had a crack at promotion, fell just short, got the job done against Waterford. Today, after losing last year's by 14 points and the lead kind of came out of the balloon a bit, you have moments here that you can build on. You're into an All-Ireland Round Robin series now. Cork here in 2 weeks. What are you looking to get from this?
Look, it's not a cliche, but growth and experience, because that's the only way we're going to learn, you know. And I think we've probably learned from a lot of those games we had in Division 3. They were topsy-turvy at times. And I thought, you know, we did well in controlling some of the aspects of the game here. But I suppose, you know, at some stage you have to put that into practice and give a complete performance. And I think, look, to get anything out of the next 3 games, we'll need to do that, you know.
Yeah, there are going to be some challenges. There's going to be the Ulster winners, Tyrone. Last year, Clare had good performances in the round robin without getting a win. Are you targeting this first game first?
Yeah, look, listen, as I keep saying to you, it's game by game, literally, for us, Tommy. And, you know, that group will be extremely difficult, but there's no point us looking at whoever the Ulster winners are without focusing. We have to focus on Cork here and in 2 weeks' time.
Hard luck today, and thanks for your time this week.
Thank you. Thanks, Tommy.
that is everything I've got time for this evening, folks. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. It has been Sarah McKenzie Foley with you for the Sunday edition of The Big Red Bench with Borgosh Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship. I'm going to be on holidays for the next few weeks, but the bench will be in very capable hands, and I'll be back on air on Sunday, May 26th. In the meantime, have a fabulous rest of your bank holiday and stay tuned for Green on Red up next.